Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Marissa's snorting.
I'm glad you're taking so much joy in other people's pain.
These stories are amazing, by the way. 3/4 of Canadians say that we would support a law enforcing a right to repair bill in Canada, which would make repairing your smartphone, your electronic devices far more affordable. Because right now it can be really expensive if you damage your phone, for example. Yeah. You know that, Sonia. You dropped your phone how many times?
Okay, I've had this new one since, I don't want to jinx it. Oh. Since, what was it, January or February?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, no cracks.
Gorgeous.
I love that that's your point of like, okay, less than 6 months. It's pretty good so
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
So we all assume that when we talk about damaged phones, it's because you dropped it somewhere.
Right.
But that is not always the case. Here's some of the stories through text at 104.56 of how else people have damaged their phones. For example, you can blame the baby. When my son was a baby, he would chew my BlackBerry to the point where there was water damage so bad that the person who tried to fix it asked if I dropped it in water. Speaking of dropping in the water, Arlo says, I went to Jamaica, was so busy enjoying the local flavor, I hopped into the swimming pool with my phone in the back pocket. Of course, there's a lot of stories, as you can imagine, about people dropping their phones into the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Selena says, my BlackBerry fell out of my pocket into an automatic flushing toilet.
Oh!
It was gone before my zipper was out. Because that's the thing, it's bad enough to, you know, see your phone submerged in the toilet water, and then you go, how do I grab it? And then there's another where you don't even have a chance to get it out. It's like, gone. Here's a story about... One time at the Richmond go-karts, I had my phone fall out of my pocket. And it fell onto the track. On the next lap, while I was looking for my phone, Riley from Boca says, I ran over it. I love this story. Erin, can you share it with us? How did you damage your phone aside from dropping it?
I washed it in the washer.
You put it through the wash?
Yeah, it was apparently in my sheets when I collected them off of my bed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I didn't find out until I threw my sheets in the dryer.
Oh, my God.
Because I have bang. And, it still kind of works after, but not really.
Yeah. At least it's clean.
It was very clean.
Oh, my God.
And here's one more. How did you damage your phone aside from dropping it, aside from maybe having it submerged in the toilet, the two most popular ways people damage their phones? This person says by text, 104.56, I dropped it and then it got stepped on by a cow.
What? Where were you?
Hashtag farmer problems.
Okay. I was like, please do not tell me you're dissing one of your friends.
Oh. Hey, do they have insurance for that? You want to get Apple Care? I mean, does it cover cow damage?
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Oh, where's Mulder and Scully? There's a man in the Okanagan who has claimed that he has now captured definitive Ogopogo footage.
Okay, how dare you say claims? It's legit, man. Once you see the video, this is it, guys. Ooh. The least shaky video I have seen of the Ogopogo to date. And dude,
you're convinced.
I've always been a believer of the Ogopogo.
Now, when you say the least shaky, let's just be clear. If you haven't seen this video, it's still shaky. It's very shaky.
No.
And you're zooming in, right? And the thing about cell phones is, you know, the more you zoom in, the grainier it gets. And often with a lot of these sightings, because it's so far away in Okanagan Lake or whatever big body of water they're claiming to see, Ogopogo or Loch Ness Monster or anything that is similar to that, it looks like it was filmed in a potato, right? It's so far away, like, there it is. And then it just looks so, like, come on.
You looked at this video and you still don't believe?
No. It's not that I don't believe.
Okay.
I just wanted to unpack, you know, like the previous footage. I do think that this is perhaps the most convincing of ones, because sometimes you see it and it is so far in the distance and it's blurry and like, is that just a wave? But in this case, there were seven quote unquote fins that were paddling in sync, like an upside down dragon boat.
Guys, look like some humps.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Lady lumps.
Yeah, Ogopogo lumps, yeah.
Dude, I thought it was legit right when I saw it. I was like, that's it. The only thing that I don't believe about it is because I think this one was captured at Skaha Lake.
Not Okanagan Lake.
Oh. And that's where the Ogopogo lives, is Okanagan Lake.
Well, couldn't the Ogopogo swim up the canal?
Oh my God. Could it, like, go no. up there? It's not deep enough to go down the, like, they're talking the Penticton Channel.
Yeah.
Because that's where it would connect, right? It can't. And I only know this area well enough because I used to live in Penticton for many years.
Right.
And always hoped for an Ogopogo sighting. Like, I was just like, please. But there's no way. Because then you for sure would have seen it. Somebody would have seen it. There's like a gas station right there that's open pretty much 24 hours that people would have, you know, at some point.
Yeah, and the Penticton Channel itself is only, what, 3 feet deep. So I'm pretty sure.
In parts, yeah.
Yeah, in certain parts of it, you would notice if there is a 120-foot long monster.
100%.
Swimming up as if it's like, just nobody pay attention, guys.
So this is the cousin. Or maybe there's been two and then the couple separated. And or mutual conscious uncoupling.
Consciously uncoupled.
And one of them decided, okay, you know, we can't travel too far. One of us is going to have to go to Skaha.
And well, you know what? You actually did bring up a valid point there a second ago. Maybe there is more than one.
100%.
You know, we put it together as the Ogopogo, but there could potentially be more than one, considering the fact that in Scotland we've had many multiple sightings of the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Maybe they're related. Maybe they're breeding. Maybe they have to be.
What? There's no way that there's theory of the Ogopogo that's been around has been alive for this long. It would not have lasted this long.
Why not?
It would have died, and then we're talking hundreds and hundreds of years, right? So I assume that there's two of them, right? And then they, you know, make love in this club, and then they have more, right? And then it's also, and I am also convinced that it could just be an extremely large sturgeon. And if you've ever seen a sturgeon, man, those things are huge and they're terrifying looking.
Right.
And it could just be one of those, and we call it the Ogopogo, which I would still call an Ogopogo in this case.
Right. Okay, so regardless of how you classify it, if you look at it as a giant 120-foot long sturgeon that has somehow survived for many, many years, or you look at it as some mythical creature that we have never been able to capture / examine under like a scientific microscope, it's still impressive.
Yeah.
And it's still like a...
Because it's really good at hide and seek? Is that why you're thinking it's so impressive?
Yeah. Hide and seek champion. Ogopogo. Exactly. Kiss Radio. There's a guy who's claimed that he has found the best footage ever captured on camera of the Ogopogo. And the topic evolved into how much money you would ask for a video like this and how much money you can make if you have a video that is just that powerful. That perhaps can make you this. I mean, would you actually be able to retire off that money? I don't know.
I don't know.
Have you seen the video yet?
I haven't seen the video, but I showed you guys a couple of weeks ago the video of the Gi tsunami, you know?
Yeah.
I made about 10 grand with that video and showed it to the world. I mean, if you have the video of that creature, you're probably going to make a little bit more than 10 grand. And I licensed it to the world. That video got a lot of hits, like National Geographic, Discovery Channel.
Right.
Skynet. I mean, everywhere. Viral everywhere.
Wow.
I made about 10 grand with letting people reproduce it on their players and stuff like that.
So for anyone who missed that segment when you were on the show a couple of weeks ago, what was, describe the Gi tsunami.
The Gi tsunami, yeah. The Gi tsunami was that, you know, bunch of birds taking off. It looked like a big wave all coming at me at the same time. I could feel the wind of their wings in my face flapping.
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember we watched it as soon as you mentioned it. So again, look up Gi tsunami, and there you go. We just made you an extra 10 bucks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got comments from the people who came from the radio. I'm like, wait, way to go.
Come on! Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
One of the worst things you can ever tell somebody is to calm down.
Yeah.
But I think yesterday those words might have actually come out of one of our mouths because, son, you got so fired up about a summertime treat that a lot of people love that you just don't understand.
You don't understand
the popularity of.
Why? Why does anybody buy creamsicles?
Oh.
Creamsicles, they are the worst idea when it comes to not even ice cream in the middle. It's a frozen treat. It's not even ice cream that they use in the middle.
And what's wrong with saying frozen treat? Treats are great.
Okay, so yesterday, you know, we're talking about record-breaking temperatures, 37 degrees in parts of BC. It's hot. So we're talking about popsicles. We're talking about ice cream cones. We're talking about ice cream sandwiches. Creamsicles come up and Sonny just loses it. And then producer Jordan, you know, you are like the defender of creamsicles.
Yeah, they're delicious.
They're a waste of space in the frozen dairy aisle, in the ice cream treat aisle.
Excuse me.
There's nobody needs them. Creamsicle is not a good thing. Nothing about it looks good. None of it tastes good. When I would get one, I'd open it up and I'd look and I'd be like, damn it, it's not even a regular popsicle, it's a creamsicle.
Okay, Sonia.
I get the ice cream covered in chocolate. That's cool. That's dope.
Oh, those are great.
Take a breath and let's calm down a little bit.
Yeah, okay, sorry. It was him that said calm down.
Yeah, it was.
I'm piecing this together now. I remember.
Don't get it. And you know how I know creamsicle is bad?
Wow.
Because if somebody ever called you a creamsicle, it's not a compliment. If I was like,
how is that,
Jordan,
not?
You're being such a stop being such a creamsicle. Oh, yeah, creamsicle.
I don't take offense
like
that, to
that. That sounds negative, doesn't it?
No, that sounds confusing. That's what it sounds like. Wait, what?
A bit.
Why are you calling me a creamsicle?
He's such a creamsicle.
So you're saying that your theory is that if you can turn it into a diss, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, 100%.
You could turn anything into a diss if you really wanted to, though.
Okay, so I call you Pizza Face. I like pizza. Is that meant to be a diss?
Yeah, that means
I
have acne.
That has an actual term behind it.
That's what I mean, though. I mean, like, but I like pizza. So why is that suddenly, I guess, visually, maybe there's that link there.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to call you Pizza Face, by the way. That was just an example.
You said it. Yeah.
I meant to call him a creamsicle, I'll tell you that much.
Oh,
I meant that one.
Again, what does that even mean?
And then my husband, I'm having this discussion with him, and he's like, Sonia, you're wrong. I love creamsicles. I'm like, what?
Yes, thank you, John.
What the hell?
Like, yes.
Don't you ever bring those into this house. If I opened up a package thinking that it was going to be a popsicle and it was a creamsicle, I'd be so mad.
Surprise.
This marriage is over. I've never had one, friends.
Oh, yeah, because you just recently came out of your dairy allergy. It's okay. This isn't even dairy. It's like frozen treat.
People love creamsicles. DQ has that orange dip cone one now.
Oh, it's called the Dreamsicle.
Right, okay. And people were just going crazy over that on social media. Mm-hmm. So if you were to take away the nostalgia factor of growing up, having a creamsicle, and or having it run over your dog, like in Sonia's case, I don't know what it did to you in the past, but apparently it's scarred you.
It's because my mom accidentally bought them one time, and she bought them from Costco. And you know what happens when you buy something from Costco.
You have an infinite supply of it.
You don't have a box of 12 to get through. You have of like 180. I remember being to all my girlfriends, they're like, guys, come over. You guys want a popsicle, a creamsicle? And they're like, sure. And I had to try to get them to finish them all because I wasn't allowed to buy any more popsicles or anything else until those were done.
So that's why you're so mad, is because you are still to this day in 2019 working through that box, right?
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Perhaps one of the biggest decisions you will ever make in your life, if you become a parent, is the responsibility and the weight on your shoulders to pick another human being's name. The name that they are going to carry with them for the rest of their life, unless they choose to change their name later on, which is very rare. So that's why there's a startup company that was founded by two moms who met on a playground. They bonded over their kids' unique names. They said, hang on, let's help new parents out. Because it's a very stressful situation sometimes to come up with the right name. So they're now offering packages where they will help you name storm. So for a 15-minute session, you pay $100 to these two moms who will weigh out pros and cons. What about this name? What about that name? From an objective standpoint.
Okay. And the honest way. Do you really want that?
Yeah, you go through like how can someone make fun of this name? You go through that kind of exercise. There's even a $350 works package that will then lead you to a list of 10 suggested first names, 10 suggested middle names for the baby, and basically do all the hard work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But all it takes is one person to ruin a name. Mm-hmm. Like if you're ever choosing a baby name, that's one of the reasons why so many parents keep it close to their hearts and they don't tell someone because they say, oh yeah, we're thinking about this name. And all it takes is that one coworker or that one family member goes, oh no, you know what? That name doesn't sound very good. I used to know somebody who blah, 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 blah. And then
they were
boom,
blah, 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 yeah.
Uh-huh.
Bad association.
Because your first time naming a kid was your own.
Yeah.
Right? Was Bennett. And what was that process like?
Again, I felt the pressure. And Katie and I remember we had a list of top names that we wanted. And it really wasn't until the very last minute that we were flipping through the baby name book and we came across Bennett and we went, hang on. Wow, we really love that.
Yeah.
And it immediately was the one that we were just Boom, just like that. We knew what it was. We loved it. And so that's how we named our son.
In your thought process, too, did you go through, like, what rhymes with it? So we were like, Bennett, Hennett, Lennett, Dennett. Like, you're trying to see, like, what could be, like, if anything
Bennett,
was made
go
fun.
Get it.
Yeah, see, it's not too bad, right?
Yeah. No, it's hard to make fun of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'll find a way eventually, but right now it's good.
I like that you're aiming to bully my child.
I'm not going to aim to. I just want to help you get, like, I'll give it to you.
Right.
And then you can prepare him if somebody says it to him.
Right, by bullying him, saying,
no,
I'm going to condition him. I'm going to condition him so you were prepared on the playground.
If somebody says this to you, I mean, you guys didn't get, I got bullied with Sonya all the time.
How do you make fun of Sonya?
Oh my God, Sonya Bobania, Sonya gonna jump up on ya, no. Sonya lasagna.
What's wrong with those? Those aren't terrible. Dude. It's not like your name is Bart where people are like, hey, fart.
Oh, I didn't, you don't want in high school to be like, Sonya, want to jump on ya. And I was gross. Get out of here.
I'm just cringing at the thought of anyone even saying that.
Yeah.
Like, how is that even
disgusting?
Not you.
She's taking it the other way.
This is Kevin and Sonya on Kiss. Come on. Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonya on Kiss Radio.
As Canadians, we're great travelers, right? Like, we're super polite. We're kind to everybody else around us. But boy, do we get ticked off pretty easily. According to a new survey, they talked about Canadian travelers and their biggest travel pet peeves. And maybe it's because as Canadians, we are dubbed one of the kindest. In the same survey, they talked about how Canadians were more likely than anybody else to help somebody with their bags to put it in the overhead compartment.
Yeah, we're good with stuff like that.
Canadians are also more likely to switch seats. Say you've been separated, like Kevin, for example, you're sitting somewhere and your wife is a couple rows away. Canadians are more likely to be like, do you guys want to switch so you guys can sit together?
I've done that with families that are separated somehow because of the seat assignments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you give up your seat if that means helping somebody out?
So maybe that's why we have very high standards when it comes to what things should be like on the plane. And when talking about pet peeves, I think we would all agree that these are high on our list. Of course, it's the obvious ones like the person who kicks all the time, the person who bumps the seat, the person who's constantly grabbing the seat in front of you. Oh, my God. So if you have long hair like I do.
Oh, no.
What happens is often somebody goes to get up and they decide that they're going to hold on to the back of your seat and it constant hair pulling.
Just rips your hair off.
Oh, yeah. So.
Do you ever say anything, by the way?
I look back and I was like, oh, it's okay.
Before they actually apologize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to hope that they don't do it again. But then I think I just gave them, as a Canadian, I think they just feel like they got permission to do it over and over again.
Because you gave them the, it's fine, no problem, pull my hair all you want, it's fine.
Is that what I sound like?
Maybe to an international traveler.
Maybe. Another one was, and this was interesting, okay, the drunk person on the plane, we've all seen that. That person's like, I'll have another.
Wow.
That was my drunk, drunk impersonation. Okay, the germ spreader. We are entirely upset with that person. The one who has that hacking cough. And I know they can't help it. I know that they're sick. But it's gross, right?
Yeah, cover your mouth. Cough into your elbow.
The cough pocket.
The cough pocket?
That's what it's called. Yeah.
Oh, your elbow. The inside of your elbow.
Yeah.
But the most annoying person on the plane is the inattentive parent.
Okay, yeah. And here's the thing. There is a big difference between parents traveling with kids and the kids are just upset because, listen, kids get upset. You know, the air pressure in their ears is not comfortable for us as adults. And sometimes kids are just not good travelers.
Of course.
If parents are trying, cut them some slack. The one thing that I never understood is why people are always so hard on babies crying in a plane. Because it's hard enough for a parent to go on a plane and take their kids and then to be judged and then to be given dirty looks. That's not fair.
Right.
But
this is the inattentive parent. This isn't the parent that's trying to do something.
If the parent is really just kind of talking with the, you know, whoever, they're talking with their friend beside them, that's where it's different. And you're like, okay, your kid is crying here. Try to help him out a little
bit. It's not only that. Have you not had the kid that walks up and down the aisles and bugs everybody in the aisle?
No, I haven't seen
that's
that.
That's the one that I'm talking about when you go for long haul flights because you do have to stretch, right? So a lot of the time you're going to go stand by the bathrooms or like the snack counter that they sometimes have. And so you'll stand, all right, where do the flight attendants stand? And so everyone's there, but the kid is just in like, okay, why don't you just stand up in the aisle? Fine. But then the kid starts running up and down, starts picking at your food. I'm like, girl, I paid $20 for these Pringles. I was like, okay. And the person, like, you know, you want to be polite. So I was like, can I give your daughter a Pringle? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. And then the kid keeps going. I'm like, oh, crap.
I can't afford this. And again, as a polite Canadian, you don't want to be the person who speaks out against this and, you know, shuts down the kid or talks to the parent about it.
Yeah.
So you just sit there and you stew on it and then you fill out a survey. And then
these are the things Canadians hate.
But we'll never say anything because we're too polite, right?
What a cute child.
Come on! Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Game 6, Toronto Raptors tonight could be taking the NBA championship. Don't go Raptors, go.
Don't jinx it.
I mean, it's just stats. I don't think it's jinxing. It would be jinxing it, I think, in some people's eyes if I said they are going to win tonight. But I said they could be winning tonight, which is statistically accurate.
So a lot of the restaurants and bars on Tuesday night, they already started to get phone, Tuesday morning rather, they started getting calls from people who wanted to watch the game at their establishment. So a lot of places are already booked up, a number of places. So they're saying that if you do want to watch the game today, you got to get there super early. Like we're talking an hour, hour and a half before the game actually starts because the game starts at 6. You'd want to get there at like 4:30.
Yeah.
Okay. 5 o'clock in order to be able to watch it at a bar because there's only limited seating for walk-ins at certain places.
We could statistically. Could be seeing history being made tonight for sure. You definitely want to be watching the game if you can with a big group of fans. And there's no fan in the world, even bigger than Drake, no fan in the world that perhaps is as passionate about the Toronto Raptors as superfan Nav Bhatia.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. He's the guy who has never missed a home game in 24 years. And he has been there courtside most games, cheering on the Raptors. And
every home game.
Yeah. Most of the time at courtside is what I meant.
Okay.
Not always at courtside, but most of the time. And he now has his own endorsement with Tim Hortons.
Oh, no surprise there. Ooh. Good for him, though.
They created this whole commercial. Nav Bhatia has his own commercial.
For 24 years, I have been to every single Raptors home game. I've seen it all. Mostly from courtside, seat A12. And for the first time, Raptors are in the finals. And the whole world is looking at this seat. Some see Indian, some see Canadian, some see both. Some see a turban. I hope they see diversity and loyalty. I hope people see why Canada is so special. I don't know if Raptors are going to win championship finals or not, but I do know one thing. Courtside seat A12 will never be empty.
Come on, do you not have shivers?
Oh.
You know shivers in hearing that?
Super fan, yeah. All the feels this morning.
Oh my gosh.
And good for him.
Whenever you hear him talk, he really does wave that flag of Canada so
100%.
So proudly. What do you think he got out of this endorsement with Tim Hortons? Like, obviously, they...
Lots of money.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
Was it money or was it Tim Hortons
money.
Gift cards?
Both. Money. You know, he's a businessman. If you haven't heard already, he's got multiple car dealerships. There is a reason he is successful, and he gives back to the community all the time. He gives away many, many tickets per game to kids and families who otherwise cannot afford to go to games. And this is a success that he's had because he is a businessman, and he wants to be able to give back. He's not going to do that for free.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to do that for Tim Hortons gift cards. BS. No way.
Do you think, actually, Producer Jordan, you can probably speak to this because you booked the interview that we had Nav on the show.
Yeah.
Because he's got his own management. Right? Okay.
He's a booking agent.
So for inquiries, for interviews and stuff like that, you have to go through his agent.
Uh-huh. Mm.
What fan has an agent for themselves? I mean, when you get to super fan status, that's the level that you're now at.
Keep in mind, the guy's been on Good Morning America, been a correspondent for them.
One
of the games. Oh, yeah, and he did that. He was part of their big giveaway as well. They were there at Jurassic Park at like 7 o'clock in the morning for all the fans that were waiting there 12 hours before the game, and he handed out free tickets to somebody there that was at at Jurassic Park that morning. He has been doing all this correspondence. He is not just a Canadian fan. He is somebody that the entire world has been watching.
Yeah.
So he has made it that big. I don't... Like, look at his Twitter. You look at his Instagram. You see how many followers he has.
Yes.
I mean, when I met him that one time, he was, I mean, big, but not as big as he is now. Now he's got 205,000 200,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure growing by the second,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, over 200,000 followers.
Yeah, just hit a refresh, and after this next song that plays, it's probably going to be 300.
You're thinking what I'm thinking? Reality TV show now.
Yes.
Woo! Let's make it happen.
I'd watch that.
There is a guy that's making headlines because he found a way to make Netflix exercise. He has created a bike. And here's what you do. You get on the bike, and you can watch Netflix when you're on the bike. But the bike only plays Netflix if he pedals hard and fast enough.
I love it. It's like the bike at Science World. Mm-hmm. You know, the what that generates electricity for the light bulb. And as soon as you stop, the light goes off.
Great idea. And this guy built it all himself. It cost him $30.
Oh.
And took him 2 days to do. And yeah, just has to pedal in order to watch Netflix.
I know some people who have used like a fitness hack to try to encourage them to be more active, where they will only let themselves watch a particular show on Netflix while they're at the gym.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what happened to me with Sex and the City back in the day. I had like this little crappy television that was set up right in front of my treadmill back in the day, and I would go and use that. Now, I got rid of the treadmill because I was done the season. The entire series, I'm like, forget this.
Yeah, if you ever get too tired or too lazy, do you just convince yourself that the show you're watching is just garbage? You're like, you know, it's not worth my time anymore.
Yeah. I'm sure Carrie will be fine in the end.
So you never finished it. You never finished it. Oh, okay.
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
This story hit hard. And I hope you keep this family in your thoughts today. There's a family from the island that's going through perhaps every parent's worst nightmare. They just found out their 3-year-old daughter, Charlie, has been diagnosed with this devastating, debilitating disease called Batten disease. And their daughter, Charlie, is one of only 13 kids in Canada that have it. And this drug that can slow and maybe even halt the progression of this disease is expensive. Mm-hmm. And the longer she waits to get it, the worse the condition will get.
And it's one of those drugs that has already passed 2 levels of federal approval. But here in BC, it hasn't been approved for coverage just yet. And so the next time they're going to be sitting down and talking about this drug is coming up in July in order to get it passed. So they're like, I mean, okay, sure, I'm glad that you're talking about it in July, but every single day, every single week that goes by, her condition worsens.
They say that per year, this could cost $750,000 US to treat and save this 3-year-old little girl who's about to turn 4. And the disease, the Batten disease that she was diagnosed with, is being described as a mix between Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and MS all in one.
Well, I mean, you said it, right? It's debilitating. It's a deadly disease.
Yeah.
And at 3 years old, you don't think about that, right? Like all the things that you look forward to as when you're thinking about your kid as a 3-year-old, you're thinking, oh, great, this is the time we get to take them to park. This is the time we get to do this with them. We start to get them ready for school in a couple of years, you know? It's going to be so fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is what definitely halts your entire life. And then you think about it and you go, okay, what can we do? And then you know that there's this drug out there that you could get, but it has not passed the government approval at this point to be able to cover it under coverage for BC. And again, they're working on it, and they're trying to, and the government does know that it's a priority, and there is a child in Victoria that needs it right now, so they're trying to do the best that they can.
I think you hit it right on the head, you know, when you said what the average 3-year-old is probably going through right now. It's a beautiful sunny day. Probably going out to the park. My son just turned 4. And so when I heard about the story, and they always say when you're a parent, certain stories hit you harder than others, especially when those stories are about kids who are the same age or around the same age as your kid. And you put yourself in those parent shoes and you go, how can I help? How, you know, what do you, you know, and as a result, pardon me, there's a lot of people who are trying to help raise money through a GoFundMe. And we're going to share that link in our social. Right now, there's been about $67,000 raised to help with the treatment for this 3-year-old girl from the island, Charlie. And so we'll share that. And if you got a spare couple dollars, if you can help out with this one, you know, we're trying to get the message out there. I mean, this family could really use it. And again, think about your in your life, if you know a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, or if you've had kids, maybe they're growing up now, whatever. I can't imagine what this family's going through. Ah.
Yeah. It's hard when you hear this news and you just think, what do you do? Like, what do you do in this sort of situation? It's not like you can take over like 6 different jobs and be able to work because then you got to be by your daughter's side as well.
Yeah.
And you forget about that, I think, when you have sick kids. It's not just about the money, but it's also emotionally and supportively being there for you. I've had friends that had to quit their jobs because they've been at, thank goodness for places like BC Children's, and they've had to live there for 6 months. They've had to leave their jobs and they're not even from Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know, coming from the Okanagan and just putting their entire lives on hold. And you forget about those things, that there is so much that goes on. on. I mean, the drug and getting that is just part of it, but the emotional support that they need from friends, family, and that commitment is big too. Again, like Kevin was saying, we're going to post it up. You can check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kissradiohits. We will post it there. It's a News 1130 article, and at the bottom there, there is the GoFundMe as well, so you can get all the details about her condition, how you can help, because Kevin, you said, you often wonder, how can I help? This is a good way to start.
Yeah, and if you don't have a lot of money to donate, that's okay too. Share it. Share that post from News 1130. Share that article, because one of your friends might be able to give a little bit more too. And and together, I think as a community, we help out families like this, because that's what we do, right?
Kevin and Sonia's Not So Secret Word, brought to you by Pepper Wireless, the number one Fido dealer.
All right. I think we've got a good connection with these listeners who hopefully do not have damaged phones. Let's take you to Vancouver. Carissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you ever damaged your phone in a really awkward way?
I did drop my phone in dog poop once.
Oh, my God.
And did you actually try to clean it off, or did you just kind of call it a lost cause?
It wasn't too bad, but it was still pretty gross.
Yeah, it depends on the poop, right? On the dog poop. It depends on, like, what kind of food they had before, right? If it's, like, a wet one, then, yeah, it's a lot of trouble to process them. But if it's one of those solid ones, it's easier to pick up, you know?
Yeah.
No.
You guys?
I use disinfectant.
Yeah, it's fine.
And Bluetooth from this point forward. Right? Never putting that up to your face.
I don't know why. My right cheek is breaking out like crazy. What is going on?
I don't know where this rash came from. Yeah. Jonathan and Maria, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. We're good.
All right. Well, you probably heard that the wait is, well, out over now for the St. Louis Blues.
After 52 years, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champs after beating the Bruins 4-1 in Game 7. The Blues, by the way, this is what the story that was making headlines, that they were the worst team in the NHL on January the 2nd. They were the last place team, and now they go on to win the Stanley Cup. And in honor of their major comeback, our not-so-secret word is last, L-A-S-T, last, because they were the last team, and they went right to the top.
Last to first. We love that little underdog story. Well, Carissa and team Jonathan and Maria, we're going to give you 30 seconds on the clock each and a series of clues as to words, phrases, and names that all have last somewhere in the answer. If you get the most right in your 30 seconds, you win. If you get stuck, you can pass, but you only get
one pass.
Excellent. Carissa, Team Kevin or Team Sonia?
Sonia.
All right, let's do it, Carissa. 30 seconds on the clock. It starts now. Another way to say yesterday evening. Oh, where were you?
Last night.
Mm-hmm. When you get your groceries, they're like, oh, would you like it in a paper bag or a
plastic?
Yes. When you're out of options, like, oh, this is my very, very final option. It's like another name for an all-inclusive. Okay. Kaboom, when a bomb goes off. It's known as a?
Sorry?
Another word when a bomb goes off.
Blast.
Yes. The one that we passed on, by the way, was last resort is what we're looking for. But yeah, ended up getting three correct on a little bit of a tougher round. It could be enough for the win, though, Carissa. So you've got three there.
Okay. So Team Jonathan and Maria, we're going to be like the St. Louis Blues in this case, right? We're going to just, you know, wipe the floor.
Already?
Right?
Wow.
Wow, that's right.
Somebody's a little feisty this morning, eh?
Wipe the floor.
There we go. Was it 4-1 last night? Yeah. All right, here we go. 30 seconds back on the clock with a not-so-secret word. Last hour time begins right now. A rubber band is a what?
Elastic.
Yes. When they don't serve drinks anymore at the bar, they say this.
Last drink, last call?
Yes. The book company that will go to the elementary level, you know, classrooms. What do they call
it? Pass.
Pass. Okay, so you're down to this. You drink out of a. What is it? It's your.
Say it again.
Okay, so like you drink out of, you suck out of a.
Last straw.
That's the last straw.
How do you feel about that whole really cocky put down that you did before?
Did you wipe
started,
the floor?
Hey?
Okay, a little bit like Brad Marchand right now, who's probably just a little bit upset with that.
Here, I got you breakfast. A little bit of humble pie right there for you.
Hey, you didn't win yet. Okay, we just tied.
No, we won.
Did you?
3-2.
Yeah. Oh, damn it, Carissa. I did lose. Okay, never mind.
You keep holding on. Maybe better luck next year, Kevin. Carissa, congratulations. You got a family pack of passes to join Kiss Radio at Summer Sunday. We're going to be chilling out at the Cultus Lake Adventure Park June 23rd. You are invited to join us with your family.
That is amazing.
Thanks so much, Carissa. Jonathan and Maria, sorry it didn't work out for you this morning. You can blame Kevin for that one. And we'll give you another chance to play. Who knows? Maybe you'll get through tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Puppies on patios. How do we feel about it? I ask because in Ontario, they just made a law that bans live animals from anywhere food is made or served. And this includes patios.
Sorry. Did they have to say live animals? No one's going to take a dead animal okay, to a patio yeah. either.
Yes, good point. Okay. So they have said, yeah, so patio. So that means like if you're going to a pub and you're going to be sitting on a patio, you can't bring your dog with you, which is so different for us because here in BC, we're all about pets on patios. There's even an article that just came out last month from our friends at Daily Hive. And they're like, oh, dog-friendly patios in Vancouver. We're talking places like Local. You can go and take your pet to Red Truck Brewing, Mahoney and Sons, The Union, Tap and Barrel. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, we are far more of a dog-friendly city, I think, than a lot of places in Canada. Where does the food safe thing fall into place? Because a lot of restaurants will not allow you to take a dog into it, for example, unless it is a guide dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or a therapy dog of some sort.
Right.
So I do wonder, because you and I both worked in the service industry, a lot of places will definitely have a no animal policy. So how is that different on a patio?
Well, because they say because it's still on the outside. So a lot of these places, what they do is you can actually tie your dog just to one. They'll give you an outdoor seat, like one that's by the walkway. So you can take your dog and put them on their leash so that they're strung on to just beside your seat, but kind of on the outer side. They'll go ahead. They'll even go as far as giving your dog or pet a little bowl so that they can drink water out of. We see it all the time, especially downtown. I mean, we look at the temperatures this week, right? Hitting the 30s. Multiple places downtown. There were so many businesses that had little bowls of water for your four-legged friend. And I'm always
like, nice touch.
Yeah. And for me, when I see something like that, like, sure, okay, Ontario, I get it. Like, you're right. Like, Kevin, you brought up the food safe stuff. But here in BC, it's just one of our things. We just are such a pet-friendly city.
We are. That said, if you are wanting to sit on the patio, but you do not like dogs, you're scared of dogs, you're allergic to dogs or whatever, there's many reasons why people don't want to have to share an eating area with the dog. And I get that there's a very strong argument against that. No matter how nice it may seem, it gives you the warm and fuzzies that, yes, you can have a dog in your patio. It's a lot of people who are turned away by that idea. And sure, you're not forcing people to be in the dog section, but if you do want to be out on the patio, some people just are terribly afraid of dogs.
But there's going to be dogs that walk by on the sidewalk anyway.
Yeah, but they're not sitting right beside you at the table beside you, right?
You could ask to move.
Yeah, I guess
maybe,
you could.
Or you can ask them to move, the person with the dog.
I thought you meant like the dog. Like, can you move?
Can you move, please?
Scoot, scoot.
Can you be a good boy? Can you be a good boy and move?
Guaranteed, if you were scared of dogs, you're not going to be wanting to get that close to a dog. I mean, this is still a better option than anyone leaving their dogs in a hot car while they
100%.
Eat, which is 100%. Just the worst thing you can ever do.
Right, and we hear about it all the time. I'm surprised that we didn't hear any stories of it yesterday. I'm actually shocked that nothing came out in the headlines.
But relieved at the same point.
Like, yeah, maybe I mean, I'm
people
happy.
Are finally getting it.
Yes.
Let's hope so. Let's hope this is the year. Now, better late than never. 2019, people have finally learned the lesson. Do not leave your dogs in the car.
Right.
Any humans.
Yes. Exactly. Or any humans. Don't leave.
Yeah.
You know,
or your cell phone melts as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gummy bears. Lipstick.
Food. Oh, yeah.
Chocolate.
Lipstick, chapstick.
Candles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plastic bottle. You know, just don't.
Just bike.
Kevin and Sonia's Netflix and Spill. Need some advice with your relationship? Let Kevin and Sonia help. Text 10456.
By now you know, right? Always Be My Baby is a new rom-com from our friends at Netflix. The movie's all about the challenges that can face two people in a relationship.
What if you want kids, but the person you are madly in love with doesn't? Are you willing to lose that person over that?
Text message 10456 for today's Netflix and Spill. When my partner and I first got together, he said he wasn't sure about kids. So I figured, okay, yeah, you know what? We're just dating. Let's get to know each other. Now, 3 years in, he doesn't want kids. I always have, and I kind of think I always will. I love him more than anyone I have ever loved. I can't imagine a life without him. He's my everything. But I now know that he doesn't want kids. I'm kind of hoping he changes his mind, but I know that But now I don't know what to do next. I feel like I have to choose. Do I want him or do I want kids? And then I worry, what if I move on and I don't find anybody else to spend the rest of my life with? I'm just hoping he changes his mind.
I mean, it's hard enough to find somebody that you love and that loves you back so hard. I mean, a lot of people will say they search their entire lives sometimes to find that right person. And then you find that right person, but there's that one asterisk, and that big asterisk is a deal breaker for a lot of people. And that is whether or not that person wants to start a family and have kids or adopt, or however you want to look at it. And unfortunately, in this case, I mean, you feel so bad for this listener to be in a situation where it could have been a 10 out of 10 easily. But that even that 9 out of 10 may not be good enough to continue being with this person for the rest of their life, because a decision has to be made whether or not you're okay with not having kids in favor of being with this person, or letting go of that person because you want to fulfill something that you feel like you want in your life. You cannot hold on to hope, though, that they
you
will
can't.
Change.
You can't.
You cannot hold on hope.
You can never expect that someone is going to change for you, or they're going to change their ways. Whenever somebody communicates something to you as openly and honestly and something as big as this, you have to take it for face value, because you have to say, okay, yeah, they don't want to have kids, but I know that's so important to you. And you have to decide down the road if you can also share that same same statement of, I also am okay not having kids, and be honest with yourself when you say that, because you can say, well, you know, and I think the older you get too, right? Oh, it's okay. Like, I'm happy with the way my life is right now. I'm super good and I'm like that. But down the road, because you're afraid of losing this person, once you get down the road and you're not afraid of losing them anymore and you're like, okay, we're comfortable again, it's going to keep popping into your head. If that is something that you have thought about your entire life, is being a mother, being a father, being a parent, then yeah, it's something that is going to play into it, and you may end up resenting them, and it'll cause some issues down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you decide to go down that road, you have to be willing to give up any sense of regret or loss or having that dark cloud over your relationship. And you have to be 100% clear that if they never change their mind, that was the decision that you went into this with.
You have to make the decision for yourself and not for them. So if you also want to share that statement of like, okay, I don't want to have kids either, that has to be a decision you make for yourself and not because of them, even though that may be the instigator and the reason why in the first place.
And people do, yes, in fact, change their mind over time, life experience, whatever. Sometimes it takes becoming a parent to realize just how much they wanted to become a parent, or that the fact that they like being a parent. Fair enough. But some people just don't want to be a parent, and that's okay too.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think, you know, if you're the type of person who's maybe in the other side of this discussion, if you're the boyfriend and is being pressured to become a parent, I don't think you should say yes just because that other person wants to become a parent. If you know deep down inside the answer is no, even if it is for right now. Because not everybody does want to go down that road.
No, but no, yeah, exactly. You have to find common ground with this sort of thing and just be okay with whatever decision. And it might, unfortunately, it might be something that you're going to think about and remember for the rest of your life. And I've had friends go through the same sort of thing.
And it can be a deal breaker, as hard as it is, right?
It can be, but ultimately, you don't want to settle for something as well. We always talk about that.
It's your life,
totally.
And you can only get one shot at this, right?
You got it.